I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's a Monday in Pennsylvania. I know I was off on Friday, so I'm sure you chatted about it last week. But that Thursday night, Phillies loss, Eagles loss. Then you have Penn State over the weekend and the firing of head coach James Franklin. So for Pennsylvania sports, I'll keep your Steelers aside in there.
Well, I was gonna,
it's been a pretty dumpy weekend.
The Steelers went in acting like a high school bully on an elementary school playground, Nancy.
Yeah.
It was ugly, and I'm a Browns fan saying that. I wanted to make a correction. I was talking on Friday about something people were, it seemed very excited about, though it was a little polarizing, was this banana ball thing coming to Music, to PNC Field. We were talking about the Savannah Bananas, and I've talked to you about this. It's so much fun to watch.
It is fun to see. I see them all over the place, social media-wise.
Dancing umpires and players on stilts, and it's like really just like their thing is like fans and entertainment first, more so than the competitive game. However, I had talked about how the Savannah Bananas were coming.
Mm-hmm.
Mistake on my part. When I looked into it deeper, I didn't realize that this is the year, coming up in 2026, they're launching something called the Banana Ball Championship League. They're adding a couple teams, so they're making this like a competitive league.
Okay.
So they had a big thing on ESPN2 where they pick cities. Mm-hmm. We got picked to host two games on May 22nd and 23rd. It's not the Savannah Bananas, though. Two other teams.
Okay.
The Firefighters against, I want to make sure I have it right here. The Firefighters against, where is it right here? I wrote the whole article. Anyway, two teams. Why can't I find this, Nancy? It's my own stupid
fault.
That's not my correction. It's not the Savannah.
Let's not get stuck on it.
Well, it's an important detail. Why can't I find it?
It doesn't matter. So they're coming.
Here it is. Loco Beach Coconuts versus the Firefighters. So a lot of people were, I wanted to clear that up because the Savannah Bananas are the stars. The stars. So this will be interesting to see. It's still going to be a big deal. People were like, how do I get tickets? It's a lottery system. Mm-hmm. You got to sign up. You sign up once. You have till October 31st. I think it's going to be the hottest ticket. So there you go.
All right. Well, I think it's going to be fun.
Oh, it's going to be phenomenally
fun. I love watching them. It's entertainment. All right. So we've been talking about Penn State and the fact that James Franklin was fired. I'm looking at a number of stories, and you certainly can text us your thoughts on the firing. A very sad end of the season for Drew Aller, who has a season-ending injury. A lot of questions about his future as well. And if you have any thoughts on who could take the place of James Franklin, who would be a good choice? I am looking at Indy Star from Indiana, and they are, talking about this as well because they've got a team that has just skyrocketed in the rankings, and they realize that Kurt Cignetti, the head coach there, is a very real possibility that, you know, they are going to, they being Penn State, going to do their very best. It looks like. Now, we don't know for sure, but to try to get him. And they said in their story, again, this is the Indianapolis Star, the Pennsylvania State University is about to open a window for all of us into exactly how much college football has changed in the last 5 years. And yes, Indiana will be involved. To what level remains unclear. So they are talking about it. I went to the New York Times. And they had a story about who are the Penn State football coaching candidates with James Franklin out. And they talked about how it's been a stunning turn of events. Penn State fired James Franklin on Sunday morning after his team followed up a home loss to Oregon with a shocking defeat at UCLA and then lost to another massive underdog, Northwestern. They say Franklin's firing and Penn State eating about $45 million in his buyout means athletic director Pat Kraft probably has a plan for what the school will do in its coaching search. Now, I truly believe that they have already been planning this, that the hope was he could kind of turn things around and at least perhaps get them somewhere close to the playoffs, right, in this season, and barring some miraculous comeback to save his job. But New York Times, again, in their article, says there are two obvious front runners for this vacancy. Both are Big Ten coaches with strong ties. They said while Penn State was losing to Northwestern, Kurt Cignetti's Indiana team was pulling off college football's other massive news as the Hoosiers won at Oregon. The 64-year-old Pittsburgh native has done remarkable work at IU. He brought a bunch of good players with him from James Madison, assembled an excellent staff, and totally changed the mindset in Bloomington. He talked big and won bigger. So we know he's been doing really well. Yeah. And the way his team handled Oregon, they're talking about six sacks of a quarterback who'd previously been taken down only once this season, as well as putting up 30 points, speaks volumes for how he has elevated this program. That win at Oregon is bigger than any game Penn State has won in years. Cignetti would owe Indiana $13 million if he left before December 1st and $10 million after that. The other front runner is Kraft's pal, Matt Rhule, Nebraska head coach. They worked together when Kraft was the AD at Temple and Rhule was the Owls head coach. Now he's 50 years old. Matt Rhule, Matt loves Pat, Pat loves Matt. I don't really care who loves who. I want the best person for the job, don't you too? We don't need that's all how, this. Let's almost be happy every, together.
That's how most jobs are. It's who you know and who you trust.
Yeah, but you know what? I think Penn State fans are at such a, you know, a down position that they don't, I don't want this happy talk. We love each other. You know, you want someone who's going to give you results. So we shall see. But they talk about those two being, the first ones that they think about. But if they can't get those two, they talk about Duke's Manny Diaz. There's also Vanderbilt's Clark Lee, Iowa State's Matt Campbell. So those are some other ones. And of course, you always hear someone throw in Nick Saban, right? In case he all of a sudden decides to get off of college game day and get back out on the field.
I'm telling you, if he were to come out of retirement to be a coach again for Penn State, I'm convinced someone would say, how much did Pat McAfee play in your decision? He'd probably be like, I couldn't stand the guy. I wanted to get away from him. Pat McAfee's very entertaining, but he seems like he's a bit much for Nick Saban. Every time you watch Nick Saban, especially if you watch the debut.
Really?
Oh, my God. It was like he looked at him like, what the hell did I sign up for?
Why? What do you think it is about him that he doesn't?
Oh, Pat McAfee's just, he's like, he's very ADHD. He's very full of energy. He says what's on his mind. Sometimes he'll get up on chairs. He's really entertaining. Mm-hmm. But Nick Saban's an old football guy, you know?
Right.
He wants to talk the game, not hype the crowd up. He just looks very uncomfortable.
Right.
Like, it would be like bringing your dad to a frat party when you're younger. That's how it looks. Like, Pat's like, Dad, I told you you weren't going to like it, but you're here now. Have a beer and watch me do my thing. That's right. How it feels. I can't imagine he's going to do that. That seems like a pretty cozy gig, regardless of the distractions.
We shall see. But all eyes now will be on Ethan Grunkmeyer, former four-star recruit, the number 9 quarterback in the 2024 class. He's from Lewis Center, Ohio. He had offers from the likes of Ohio State, Tennessee, Minnesota, Cincinnati, and others. He has played in 3 games this season through 1 touchdown pass in the win over Villanova. He also saw the field versus Nevada and FIU, recording a new high in passing yards in a game, 86, against the Wolfpack. The young gunslinger, as they call them here in this Athlon Sports, played in 1 game in 2024, but took his red shirt year. So I guess there's some other ones. But Grunkmeyer is the only one of the 4 other Penn State quarterbacks to see the field this season. So it's expected he will take the start on October 18th, playing Iowa on the road. That game is 7 o'clock. It will be on Peacock. We've mentioned this before. This is a streaming-only game on Peacock. We will, of course, have the action for you on WILK. It's going to be a very interesting coach's show.
Because there's no coach.
This coming third.
The interim, correct. Yeah,
Terry Smith is the interim coach. He will be running things in the meantime. He's an associate head coach, and he is an interim head coach now. So he's someone who's been there. He knows the players, obviously. He's been there for the 12 years with Coach James Franklin. So, you know, you do need someone who's been there.
Right.
To at least know the players and know the way it's been. But obviously you need someone with a little different mindset. The James Franklin dismissal expected to cost somewhere around $50 to $56 million. And we can all talk about what a crazy contract that was. I'm still amazed that there isn't some kind of performance necessary to continue.
I was reading it. I guess the athletic director at the time signed up to the deal and then left 4 months later. I saw people they should bring that AD back and make them pay for something. Like, well, I mean, at the time, I remember thinking some people were upset, but it seemed justified. It seemed like it made sense, unless you wanted to say, I know more than they do. And if that's the case now, you should be saying, yeah, I told you so.
Smith was the team's defensive recruiting coordinator and cornerbacks coach and has been there since 2014. He's been responsible for helping develop cornerbacks, several of whom were drafted into the NFL. In 2013, he was the wide receivers coach at Temple University, coaching under Penn State alum Matt Rhule. Hear his name again?
Yeah.
Now the head coach at the University of Nebraska. Prior to college coaching, he coached high school football in the Pittsburgh area for more than a decade. So we shall see how that goes. And again, you know, obviously, if he has some kind of turnaround for this team with some big games coming up, you know, maybe he'd be in contention. But honestly, like the bigger names are what people are looking at.
Two things. I think my dislike of Matt Rhule feels very personal as I look into some of his stuff. I knew he played for Temple. He must have done something coaching that I didn't like, because I remembered him and I was like, he went to the NFL. He was coaching Charlotte. He bombed out there. He's doing well, and he's doing really well in Nebraska. So if I remove those personal feelings, I just wonder, when you start talking about the Indiana coach and you start talking about Nebraska coach, I'm not sure how their contracts are all set up, but you're going to just let your coach go to an in-conference, because they're all Big Ten now. Like, how are you going to, how's that going to happen? Or do they not care about that in Big Ten college football? It seems like you could be like, oh, you can leave, but just not to one of our competitors.
Right. Well,
direct competitors.
Yeah.
In-conference competitors.
If there's any ones you have in mind that you think would be great. Somebody texted, thank God Penn State has a legendary wrestling team and a powerhouse kick-ass girls volleyball team, huh? And I said, yes. Yeah. I love watching the ladies' wins this weekend. They played, I believe it was Wisconsin. That was a whiteout on Friday night. They won. I think that was a sweep. And then they beat Northwestern as well. So it was good to see them come back. They had a game against Nebraska last week. I follow them a lot, and they looked really off that one game, and I was hoping that they would come back, and they really had a great weekend. And yes, wrestling is coming soon as well. All right, some of you have checked in on the whole Penn State James Franklin situation. Someone said, I heard some talk over the weekend, the Penn State Alumni Association raised $20 million to get rid of Franklin. I don't know, there's a lot of stuff going around. Somebody else was like, I heard Adidas kicked in $50 million, and I'm like, come on. Another one says a $76 million buyout of Jimbo Fisher of the Texas Longhorns, number one on the biggest buyout list. Yeah, I saw that. Someone else says, don't forget Penn State ice hockey. They're awesome. Yeah, we can't forget them either. Someone else says, Old Miss Lane, is it Kiffin?
Yeah, Lane Kiffin.
Kiffin. Good morning. He would be a great possibility as well.
Again, I'm just saying what I hear. Lane Kiffin seems like that coach that always has hype, and he seems to know how to get the big jobs, and then he doesn't seem to knock it out of the park. So it reminds me of that. Who was that guy? James Franklin. Mm-hmm. He can't pull the trigger to get the big games or whatever. He doesn't seem like he's that guy. I'm just saying.
Who knows, right? Someone else says, do you think Penn State has any chance getting Bill Belichick if Franklin was out the door last year? I don't know if Bill Belichick would be a good pick, to be honest with you.
I mean, he dresses like a student. That's a positive.
And then his girlfriend comes over and asks for money for the concession stand every once in a while on the sidelines.
It's not supposed to be obvious. Like, Bill, if you remember Belichick, when he went into North Carolina, he was going to teams saying, like, here's my demands. And he needed a program that was kind of desperate to be willing to accept that. Experts were like, who would accept these contractual details? Plus, there's like no commitment. He could be there and leave, and I guess both sides can walk away with no payout, which is a win for the school, but it also, there's no commitment. It's like being in a relationship but not making it official. So I don't know that he's, I think he's probably going to try to get back to the NFL. But I don't know.
Yeah, we'll
with the NFL at his girl on the side. I'm not sure.
Yeah. There's already been a bunch of players that were going to come that were committed that have decommitted. That's a shame as well. There's like five of them from the 2026-2027 seasons. But again, anything could happen if you get the right person in that position. And of course, they're getting paid. So who knows what could happen.
I think Aller was making about $3 million in sponsorships through the NIL deals. I don't think the kickers were making anywhere near that.
Oh, I'm absolutely certain of that. But yeah, so Drew Aller, what will be next for him? Some people have talked about, can he get a waiver for a medical red shirt? But others said, no, played too many games already. And would it be... Others are going, if Bo could have stayed and Drew Aller could have gone to the draft and blah, blah, blah. If only you could see what's going to happen ahead of time.
Gone to the police, Nancy. None of this would ever happen. I was just looking here. You know, you started talking about the players who had committed to Penn State who were saying, yeah, I'm kind of taking that commitment back at this point, which means they don't know the word commitment, but whatever. With the way the transfer portal works, I was looking to see if there was a limit. There's no limit to how many college players can enter the transfer portal. So theoretically, if the team was really behind Franklin, which I'm guessing that with the way they're playing, very few would be. Some, with the fear of the unknown, could just say, we're out of here. It's so easy for them to transfer now. So you could see a wildly different team.
On the other hand, if Franklin stayed and it was mediocre, they were going to drop anyway. I mean, think about it. Do you think it's better? Let's just say Franklin stuck around. They stuck around with him to the end of the season and then let him go. I think you would have had people dropping off anyway. And then the thought of, are we going to have this coach again? The fact, I get that they're going to decommit because they want to keep their options open. But the fact that there's this, could there be a big move coming? Someone who's going to turn it around and an expectation and a real pressure.
Yeah, I think if you're hiring a coach, you need to hire a coach fairly quickly, like almost immediately after the season, make it happen fast, and then make it a big money deal to like be like, this is like the guy. So every player out there goes, wait a second, let's take a look at Penn State again because they're for real now. Mm-hmm. If you don't do that, if you bring someone in who's just going to kind of go, well, we're going to give it our best, I don't think it's going to matter.
You need to. I mean, this is a big move and it's going to require a lot of money and a big name.
I'll bet they pay a record deal for whatever coach they bring in next.
Yeah, because there's just too much to lose.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
I am seeing more and more posts from people who go, I had to delete something I posted earlier because I thought it was real and I should have been more diligent. And I'm like, yeah, everything out there is just a stream of misinformation. And I think that is all done on purpose. You'll never trust or believe anything. People in positions of power can really just do just about anything and you'll believe some alternate reality. It's a scary time.
Yeah, I don't know what's real anymore and what is not real anymore. If you haven't seen the, do you see this thing? And it's being reported like it's real, but I feel like there's a obvious giveaway that this isn't real. Turning Point USA had announced after the Bad Bunny Super Bowl halftime show that they were going to do their own halftime show, an alternative one. And over the weekend, a poster came out. It says Turning Point USA, America's halftime show. And this is what it has on here. And I'll get to the part that makes me go, this seems like it's a joke. This is who's performing. Kid Rock, Ted Nugent, Travis Tritt, Jason Aldean, Aaron Lewis from Stained, John Rich, Lee Greenwood, someone I'm not going to try to pronounce. But at the very, very end, it says featuring a guest appearance from Measles. That sounds like a joke.
Well, maybe that's one that made a joke of it because I searched it through Google and it says Turning Point USA from ABC News announces counter program Super Bowl halftime show.
But this is the poster that I'm seeing conservative figureheads sharing left and right. And I'm like, this seems like a joke, unless they're trying to be tongue-in-cheek.
Who knows? And then there's fact or fiction. Turning Point USA to put on separate Super Bowl halftime show.
That I believe.
And they said, it's basically true. On Thursday, this is what we got. Right. Turning Point announced it will put on an all-American halftime show celebrating faith, family, and freedom. There's no word where it will be or who will perform, they say here, but that there is supposedly some indication something will go on. Now,
guest
again, they may just
by measles,
say that.
No,
I'm not saying that is obviously something different. Again, just because someone has it there, it could have been a troll. Someone may
this
have
was shared
altered it.
Everywhere, this poster.
I know. I did see other people putting it out there as well. So they claim that they will be doing their own one. Plus, we've got the Puppy Bowl. Isn't that out usually on at the same time? But
yeah, I hope it's all American dogs, by the way. If we don't.
There's like a whole bunch of stuff out there, that is being talked about. And again, you don't know sometimes what is real or what is not real. People were wondering on Friday when the White House made a statement about the president at Walter Reed getting a physical again, right? The annual physical. This was done 6 months after the last one, but okay. And in that, they talked about advanced imaging. We don't really know what that's about. But they also mentioned that he got a COVID booster shot and a flu shot. And that really made, obviously, the anti-COVID vaccine people really nuts. And some of them were like, well, I don't think he really got one. I think that they made him put that in there. And I'm like, what? You know, maybe he got one because his doctor said you should get one. So just be careful with the stuff out there. I try to double and triple check what I see anymore, especially in social media. There are so many bots and propaganda people out there just trying to spread whatever they can. Usually we hear from Snedeker at this time and he gives us a longer range forecast. So I'm just going to read it to you right now. Allie Gallo is in. Clouds today, on and off rain showers. Today's high near 60 degrees. Some clearing tonight, low 50. Sun and clouds tomorrow, the high 64. Then sunny and breezy on Wednesday, a high of 60. Looking ahead to Thursday, sunny, cooler, it's a high of 55. Mostly sunny on Friday. The high 60. If you have plans for next weekend, just a little early glimpse. Saturday, clouds move in, maybe a spotty shower, the high 67, but partly sunny on Sunday. Could get up near 70 degrees. All right, let's talk about what is going on. Israel is saying that all living hostages have been released.
That's good news.
Yeah, it's very good news. The president is speaking, and he's been speaking for quite some time, delivering remarks to Israeli parliament after those hostages had been freed. There is word that he was briefly silenced as Israeli politicians yelled terrorist at him as he spoke to the parliament.
Really?
The U.S. president had just received a standing ovation from members of the Knesset as he took his place behind the podium. But two left-wing politicians began shouting at him in protest as he praised his special envoy, Steve Witkoff, in a speech marking the end of Israel's war in Gaza. The interruption left Trump briefly silent, as he was seen a bit confused, right, by what was going on. Hadash party head Ayman Odeh and Knesset member Ofer Kassif were ejected from the chamber after shouting terrorist at Trump. They held up signs that read genocide and recognize Palestine. Trump said as they were marched out of the hall by security, that was very efficient. Back to Steve, he said, after the commotion settled down. I call him Henry Kissinger, who doesn't leak. But he continued speaking and continues to speak there. And I think he's been speaking now
almost an hour.
It seems like for quite some time.
At least 45 minutes.
Yeah, we've been having it on in the background here. So, just kind of watching the latest as it happens. We do know that the U.S. and Egyptian presidents chairing a gathering of world leaders dubbed the Summit for Peace. And Israeli President Isaac Herzog's office says he will award U.S. President Donald Trump's Israel's highest civilian honor the Israeli Presidential Medal of Honor for his efforts to bring the hostages home. So amid compliments toward the prime minister during his speech, U.S. President Donald Trump had one friendly dig. Now you can be a bit nicer, Bibi, because you're not at war, Trump said. Palestinians in the occupied West Bank rejoiced as prisoners released in an exchange with Israel. They arrived in their country waving flags. Hundreds gathered outside the Ramallah Palace of Culture to greet them. Reports by human rights groups detailing conditions in Israeli detention have made Palestinian prisoners enduring symbols of their people's struggle. So we shall see. Trump did say Kushner loves Israel so much. My daughter converted to Judaism. That was a part of what he had to say today. And he said of his daughter and Kushner, they have a great marriage and they get along great. This is all happening as we talk about speaking.
Nothing about it. This is all policy talk. No, that's that's nice, right? They can the conversion. Sure.
They great. Did say Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas has arrived in Egypt's Sharm el-Sheikh resort to attend a summit. There was some question about whether he would be there. So the news is that he would be there. The president, when he did start speaking, began his remarks by praising 20 courageous hostages who he said are returning to the glorious embrace of their families. And it is glorious. He also saluted Israel's prime minister for his role in the ceasefire agreement, but couldn't help but offer a backhanded compliment too. He's not the easiest guy to deal with, but that's what makes him great, Trump said. Thank you very much, Bibi. Great job.
If Netanyahu didn't yell out touche, if that would have been the perfect moment for that, because I'm sure they both are really difficult
issues.
Sure.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
We were talking about the president. The president is still speaking in Israel. He's still doing his thing. You know, he's very confident right now about the war being over. He was asked if the war is over. This is what he said.
Mr. President, this is a little bit more comfortable.
Well, then that's the wrong clip, so we apologize for that. Oh, here it is.
I'm not apologizing.
You better not.
Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, has not gone so far as to say the war is over. In your view, is the war between Israel and Hamas over?
War is over. The war is over, okay? Do you understand that?
Mr. President, is the ceasefire going to hold? Are you confident the ceasefire will hold?
Say it.
Are you confident that the ceasefire is going to hold?
I think so. I think it's going to hold. I think people are... A lot of reasons why it's going to hold. But I think people are tired of it. It's been centuries, okay? Not just recent. It's been centuries. I think people are tired of it. Yeah, the ceasefire is going to hold.
No, I mean, like, he's very optimistic.
I hope he's right.
I hope he's right, too. Yeah. It's just the reality of the situation isn't as
it's tenuous. I mean, you have to... You know what? There's a lot of moving parts.
Sure.
And they're kind of cobbling, and I don't mean cobbling in a bad way, but, you know, they have to keep propping it and keep it going. And I hope that they're able to do that. I mean, the very good news is the hostages are back. So that certainly is wonderful news. And hopefully they will continue to work towards peace in the region. That's a very good thing. Certainly been talking about a lot of the stuff in the news had to do with, you know, internationally. We've also got the government and the shutdown in day number 12 now, and we see where things move forward with that. We're going to talk about that coming up as well. Certainly, Drew Aller, quarterback at Penn State, had a season-ending injury, and there's a lot of questions about his future, of course. And we have Penn State coach James Franklin, a former coach now, fired. A lot of questions about who will take his place after three losses. Oregon was tough enough, losing the last two games when they were 20 plus point favorites.
Yeah. It's a little easier for them, though, because they're losing to really tough teams as opposed to, like, Indiana. People said, they were a great team. But how great were they? Well, they're really good.
Well,
you know?
Now we saw.
Penn State's losing to teams that didn't have wins and shouldn't have won. So it's a much different scenario. Oregon's still very respected. Last week we were talking about, could Penn State run the table? I jokingly said, there's no table. Oregon still has a table. Mm-hmm. If they can kind of, like, find their way in the right spot, they could move into that championship.
Right.
It could still happen.
Penn State is in the midst of, what is it, a $300 million, I think it's $300 million,
the renovation?
The renovation and the upgrade. The huge fan base, the huge alumni base for Penn State. They had a huge deal with Adidas, because it's been Nike, I think, for quite some time. Yeah. That doesn't take place until July, but they put hundreds of millions of dollars in the partnership and, with them. What happened here? Was this bad coaching? Was this players demoralized? Something happened. I mean, that Oregon game, three quarters were horrible for Penn State. The fact that they were able to even come back and get into overtime, but something broke, it seems. Were the players demoralized? Did they no longer have faith in the coach? There's just a lot of questions about what had happened, because they could have gotten past that loss with some impressive games. And it just seemed like the wind was, like, knocked out of the sails.
Well, that's what you see, that loss, and how,
but Drew
throws
Aller
the interception
didn't,
at the very end.
Yeah, and he seemed to have, real struggles in those other games as well, before getting the injury this week. Somebody texted us and said the players quit on Franklin.
Yeah, I mean, look, is it possible the players were disappointed that they had that game? They could have won the Oregon game, and Aller threw the interception, and it was over. And then did Franklin then say, he's the guy, and kind of get the team, try to rally the team around someone they no longer believed in? I doubt that's the case, but coaching's not easy. I know we it's easy for us fans to go, I would have done this. It's not an easy thing to do. There's a lot of psychology in there. And Aller seemed like a broken player toward the end. By the way, you said $300 million. I thought that seems high. I just double checked for you. $700 million for that.
Stadium?
For the stadium renovation.
Okay. I think the $300 million is the Adidas deal, so I got them confused.
Either way, I thought you were way too high in the renovation. I'm like, $700 million? That's insane.
It is.
Look, double.
They're not.
It's wild.
They are building something, and the expectation was, that this would be the season they went to that higher level. So they are going to end up paying Franklin somewhere $50 million. To buy out this ridiculous contract, they're going to have to get a big name.
Yeah, if you build it, they will come, was the famous. You don't want to ever be in that situation and go, if you build it, they will come. Fingers crossed.
Not like now,
So hopefully they can turn this around with a big name to get everyone excited.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.